Hi, my name is Rachel, and my telephone number is... I wanted to tell you that you're evil, horrible people. You're awful people. You represent horrible ideas. God hates you, and he wants to kill your children. You should all burn in hell. Bye.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's the last day of February.
Oh, Jesus. God damn it.
February 20th.
I'm just saying that because that means rent's due tomorrow. And
that's
really
true.
Don't feel like dealing with it.
I know, I didn't think about that one. I'm just thinking February is over, you know.
Was that like a weird reaction?
Yes, it was.
Oh, Jesus, God damn it.
Okay, now I get you. The rent is due tomorrow.
Because I actually was shocked when you said it. I was like, oh, shit.
Really? You didn't even think about
it? No,
huh?
I haven't. Have I had time to think at all? No.
Why?
Because I think I'm still drunk.
Oh, really?
There's no thinking.
Oh, wow. And then, you know, you said that pot lasts a long time. I mean, you know, you drank last night and you still
feel
drunk
this morning. And I kept drinking.
Yeah. Did you get any sleep or are you
I did. Well,
drinking?
Not really, no. Because I had too much caffeine.
Mm.
So I was like up and then like I slept and then, I don't know.
What, you were drinking coffee or something?
Well, I had to. It's been this like horrible roller coaster this past like week. It's been like, you know, I can't sleep, so, you know, I'm so tired when I wake up, so then I just do the caffeine thing. Mm. And then I'm up all night again, and then I can't sleep, so I gotta get caffeine again. So it's like this whole, like, you know, constant roller coaster of,
Now, alcohol doesn't put you to sleep? I mean, doesn't it help you? No?
No, and if because I am so sensitive to caffeine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I had more this morning. So
don't have caffeine when you get
so good.
To sleep.
I need it, and then I can't wake up and I can't function. Maybe I should just stop drinking.
Yeah, there you go.
No,
you
know?
Never.
Yeah, you can have your pot, and I'll have my alcohol.
Okay.
You can have Dr. Dina. She's pretty hot.
No, she is. She's hot, and she's a lot of fun, too, you know?
Yeah.
I saw her video. She was on Good Day LA on TV.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, talking about the same things pretty much and stuff, you know? So.
Did you try the weed she brought you?
Yeah, I did.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
Does it smell good? Is
yeah,
it like...
she brought me a little bit.
See, I don't even understand what the difference is between anything anyway. Like, sativa?
I know,
what is that? What is whatever else? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Doesn't
well,
make sense
for me, it doesn't... Yeah, to me it doesn't really matter. It's all the same.
It's all the same. Wow, you pothead, you.
They've got like millions
you.
And millions of strains and stuff, you know.
I don't understand anyway.
Yeah, but no, the main difference is indica is more like a body high, you know. It's like it gets your entire
is
body.
Is that the one
stuff.
That I was telling you about, that whatever I tried when I was younger and I burnt my hair? It was probably that.
Maybe it was, but then sativa is more like a head high, you know. It's not as heavy.
Okay.
So they say you get more creative with it. I don't see that, but, you know, what do I know, right?
Right.
Get more creative on it. So there's all kinds of stories, you know.
Totally. Okay, yeah. So I have a story. So I just want to rant for a minute about something, because like this makes no sense to me, and this happened to me recently, and I don't understand it.
Okay.
So I am sitting somewhere, and I am on the phone, and I am having a conversation on the phone. Now, my whole thing is, do you think that I think I'm being unapproachable. I'm sitting in, given it's a popular bar type hotel place.
Right.
And I'm sitting there on the couch, like a pompazon. So it's like, it's not even like you can share it with me. It's like those big round pompazons. Like you can't even sit next to me. I'm like sitting in it. Like I'm taking up the whole thing. It's mine. I'm staring at the ceiling, twirling my hair, looking at the ceiling on purpose to avoid everyone's like, you know. I don't want to look at anyone, and I just don't really want to deal with people. I was on the phone, and I was having a very good conversation. So, people, I kid you not, I think I'm being unapproachable. I was approached 8 different times.
While you were on the phone?
While I was on the phone.
Wow.
And one of them was like, this was like so bold. This guy comes up and sits like next to me, like there's a couch next to me. And he's like, are you going to hang up the phone? And I'm like,
wow.
No, I'm talking to my boyfriend. And he goes, so hang it up. And I'm like, first of all, like,
wow.
Who are you to tell me to hang up the phone? I don't think so. So I was like, no, it's not happening. And he sat there still. And I'm like, can you move? Can you give me privacy? I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
And so then he just thinks it's funny. And he's staring at me, like, drooling. Like, I'm clearly just drunk. And he, like, moves down a little bit. And I'm like, that's still not far enough away. Like, get away. Meaning, like, leave.
Yeah.
You know, and then another guy walks up. I mean, literally, it was one after another after another. Wow. I just didn't understand. Like, how am I being approachable right now? I'm not.
Right.
I think I'm doing everything I can to make it so that you can leave me the fuck alone. I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
How rude is that?
It seems like
somebody.
These guys don't really give a shit.
No.
You know?
I mean, it's just like, oh, God, this girl's sitting by herself. Let's move in like hawks.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it was just disgusting. I felt like it was a salivating dog and I was bacon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just, I didn't like it one bit, but it was disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. What would you do in that situation?
I don't know. I just realized that it's not easy being a hot chick, you know, because you're never left alone. You know, people are constantly trying to pick you up, you know, trying to hit on you. And it's hard, you know. So I don't know what to tell you. Just go looking as an ugly girl or something.
I should go in
disguise. Nobody would bother you.
Yeah. What if I put, like, zit moles all over my face?
Exactly.
I could do a really good job with makeup art. I mean, actually, that would be a really good ploy. Wear a hidden camera and see what happens then.
Yeah.
But I felt like the outfit that I was wearing, maybe it was, like, you know, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, the magical pants that, like, fit everyone?
Yeah.
If you've ever seen that film.
No,
the
I haven't.
The pants fit everyone. The fat girl, the skinny girl, the whatever girl. Uh-huh. Like, they fit them all. It was magical pants. They just, like, stretched.
Uh-huh.
And whenever they wore the pants, something amazing would happen. I felt like my dress was like the amazing dress. All of a sudden, it's like shooting out energy saying, like, come over here, when really I'm like, get the hell away from me.
Right, yeah.
I couldn't be more, I'm thinking, unapproachable.
Right.
I just was shocked by the point that, like, multiple guys in a row would walk up to somebody on the phone. Do you think I'm sitting there faking it?
Right.
I'm making a fake phone call? That's what I was thinking. Maybe they think that I'm, like, not really on the phone because... You know, people in LA are so full of shit,
right.
And they're like, they just want to sit there and they feel uncomfortable sitting there by themselves, so they just start getting on the phone or something, or like playing around because they feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Maybe they thought that I was too. I don't know. Mm. And I the thought crossed my mind, and I'm like, that's just really fucking weird. That means if they think that, then they do that.
Yeah.
You know
no,
what I mean?
for sure.
And
you
I'm
know
like,
I mean?
Losers.
They have no boundaries, these guys.
No,
you know?
And that bothered the hell out of me. But would you do that? Would you go up to a girl
no,
on the
I
phone?
Never would. No.
I'm just kind of like, first of all, were you raised in a barn? I just wanted to say that. I just don't get it. It really doesn't make sense. Like, guys these days, it's so pathetically disgusting. I mean, honestly, I had a realization last night, I think.
What is it?
I just, you know, like, just men. I don't know. Right now, like, they irritate the shit out of me. Not all men.
Yeah.
Not mine.
Yeah.
But others irritate the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It's just pathetic. That whole example pissed me off.
Right.
And then just like looking around, like last night we went to a really great premiere, which it airs on Friday, called Phantom. And it stars Ed Harris and Dave Duchovny and Sean Patrick Flannery. And like it's a big cast.
Wow, sounds good.
Yeah. And it was cool. I mean, it was based on the Phantom submarine that was back during the Cold War.
Right.
And it was a Russian submarine that had this thing called the Phantom. Basically, it was a sonar they put out and they could be undiscoverable.
Oh, wow.
To American devices.
Right.
I thought it was a really great film. I thought everyone did a really good job. And it was confusing at first because I didn't realize they were all Soviets. They were all Russian because they were speaking perfect English.
Right.
No one was trying to do accents.
And really?
It was like a cast of like, you know, 10 big names.
Right.
I was a little thrown off at first. I was like, are they American? Because they even had Southern accents. It was just however they talked. And I was a little thrown off because I'm like, they're in a Russian ship and they're speaking.
Yeah, but it'd be weird for them to speak in a
and
Russian
accent. I get that.
Yeah.
But they should have made it more clear, I feel like.
Right.
It all made sense in the end. I get it later on. It all made sense. And actually, like, it was very heartening. And I almost was trying not to cry at the end. And people had tears in their eyes because it was, you know, it's based off a true story. So you can look up the history of it. But it was very moving. And it makes you really feel what it's like to be men in a submarine, you know, during a war.
So does it take place mostly in the submarine?
In the submarine. It's all in the submarine.
Yeah.
It's all in the submarine. So it was very interesting. There was nuclear weapons that were in there. Mm. So it was like trying to, I mean, it was really like shit that really happens, you know, wow. that, during the war. And it was a very cool take on it because the submarine was found not too long ago and they weren't sure. See, neither the Russian or the U.S. governments will tell you what really happened.
Right. I remember when they discovered this, what, like a couple of years ago
or something? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So this film is about that and what happened on it. Speculation, but the gist of what happened. And it was taken over by the Russian government to try and start a Cold War between the Americans and the Chinese. Mm. So, because they had the phantom sonar, no one could detect them. Right. So the Americans would think it was the Chinese shooting at them.
Right.
When it was
Sounds
really
like
Russian.
A James Bond movie to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, this is true events. Yeah. So it was really cool to, you know, watch a piece of history because I like historical things. So that was really neat. Mm-hmm. But, and it was cool to see, like, run into old people that I haven't seen in a while. And it was neat. So I was sitting in the section, you know, that was all the Californication crew because they were all there to support Dave Duchovny.
Right.
So it was great. It was, you know, it was cool to see people that I haven't seen in a while and other people that I haven't seen in years, which was fascinating. Then a guy sitting next to me was my Facebook friend. Like, I've never met him.
Really?
And he's like, Bruschetta? And I was like, yes. I'm your Facebook friend. Oh, okay. But it was funny because he's producing a film that David's directing next.
Oh.
So it was a really weird circle. I'm like, why are you? Because I'm sitting in that section. I'm like, why are you sitting here? How do you, we know the same people. And I'm like, that's even weirder. I never worked with him. I just met him via Facebook once. Anyway,
I know.
Very
it's
weird
funny with Facebook, you know?
Circle. But yeah, it was a cool film anyway. And, you know, and I got to take my girlfriend got to experience it. But I guess my realization is like, taking a step back, taking a step outside of it and, like, you know, watching, because I haven't been going out in a while and I just started recently kind of like going back in the scene. And it's just funny because whether this was 5 years ago, 10 years ago or now, it's still the same people doing the same things.
Right.
And that was kind of my realization of, like, nothing's changed. Everyone's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Still. And, like, they're still going to the same parties or the same, you know, the same patterns, whatever it is.
Wow.
You know, it's just. It's just interesting. And so I took myself out of that box for a minute and like looked around and was like, wow, everyone's still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Do I really want to be doing the same thing?
Yeah. So you've moved on.
It was just interesting in that way. I don't know. And then it was kind of funny because like, well, I don't want to talk too much on the air, I guess, about
it. Okay. All right. Well, you brought us a very special guest in the studio.
Yes.
And tell us who she is. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. You guys are quite entertaining.
She's one of my best friends from high school, actually.
Really?
I've known her for like 20 years.
Yeah. It's
wow.
been a long time.
So you grew up together in Maryland?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've known you since I was 14.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Freshman orientation.
Holy shit. I can't believe you remembered that, too. She has like a remarkable memory.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Good times. We were in the same homeroom class. So that's
really?
How I think we first met. Finally.
I guess, yeah, I think so.
Wow, that's pretty cool, you know.
Oh, we have stories.
I mean, I have a couple
Major
of like like high school friends and stuff, but, you know, you don't really stay in touch with them or anything, you
right.
know. But with you guys, so you stay
well,
in touch
hard.
All this time,
yeah,
right?
No, we've definitely always stayed in touch. It's so hard as far, because I'm in Virginia, and I have children, so it's really hard to make this travel out here as much as I'd like to. And now that they're getting a little bit older, I think I'm going to try to do it a little bit more.
She's got three beautiful kids.
Really?
Thank you. Yeah.
And they're, like, close in age, too, so it's, like, they're, like, 3, 4.5, and 7.5.
Oh,
right?
So they're still young.
Right, yeah. But we're out of the infant stage, so that's huge.
Yeah.
But you have your hands full, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. That and work. But I tied this trip in because I'm visiting my dad in Arizona, so I have to fly it. And wish it could have been longer.
I know.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So you're only staying for like 24, 48 hours?
24 hours, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Leaving literally after the show, like racing to the airport.
Cool.
Hopefully I will not miss it.
You won't.
So
security
came,
better not
so
be
you
long.
So you came especially to see Bridget.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. You say you're special.
She is special. She's my special girl.
Yeah.
I love her.
I love you.
So this is cool. So, well, let's go back a little bit and stuff. And,
sure. I know you want to find the history.
Oh,
no, it's funny. We have, like, we have so many stupid stories. We were, like, even thinking about it. Like, just, God, we were retarded.
Well, we definitely
grown
were
up
a little mischievous.
So much, we were very mischievous.
But we were, like, not terrible. I mean, our parents didn't have it that hard. Maybe times have gotten worse, but, like, I've heard some major stories now of some high school kids that are pulling
at least we didn't murder anybody.
The worst we did was sneak out every once in a while, and then make our way back home the same within the same 2-hour window, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
No. I totally forgot. Like, she used to sleep over, and we used to trick my mom.
This is funny. This on a school night too.
School nights. I don't even know how we got away with half the shit.
I don't either, because your mom would just, I would, you know, I'd pretend to leave, and
she would walk out the front door, and then like I would sneak her back in.
How could she not find us in the morning?
I don't know. And we would hide her like under my bed or in the closet.
And then she checked on you like once. And
that was it. And then I would bring dinner from downstairs up to her in my room and lock it. And we would just have like a sleepover. And then we would
my parents knew where I was at least. I know. Thank God. That's all that mattered.
Mine had no idea. She used to do this a lot.
My parents just thought your parents knew. So
we used to do a lot of stupid shit. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I would imagine your parents are divorced now if you're visiting your dad in Arizona.
Yeah.
At what age were you when they divorced?
I was 12, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you?
It was hard. It was hard. And I'm going through a divorce now, actually. Mm. So, you know, but I think the reason why I bring it up is because I think at 12, it's actually more difficult than doing it when they're really young, so they can mold and adjust to their new life.
That's true. I don't think there's ever like a good age, you know? I mean,
there's not.
It's always breaking up the family, and it's not a good
thing. But there's sometimes it's just they're better off, and if it's not the right atmosphere for them, then they're better off in a good atmosphere. So, you know, everyone has their reasons for divorcing, and it's a shitty thing. But, you know, you have to kind of make that call if you're not feeling it in your heart, and then your children aren't going to feel it in their hearts. And if they see hostility, then, you know, they're going to grow up in that. So,
and
doing it
in
a middle school age is tough. And so that's when they got divorced. So that, I'd say that was fairly tough. I mean, I adjusted.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I was always busy with my, I rode and ride horses, and so, you know, my hobbies kept me busy and preoccupied.
Well, plus, too, I think, like, traveling a lot, because her dad was in the military, was, like, another thing, too, and that was, I guess, an easier...
I think that, I don't know. Yeah, we always had our home base in Colombia that we would come back to, so I always had a nice little circle of people there, even though when we moved everywhere else.
I'm laughing.
Why are you laughing?
Because I just had this memory, this thought of one time, like we were going to the base to go see her horses, because her horses were on the base, and we were speeding. I don't know why, we were just going really fast.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And we get pulled over by military police, by MP, and she's like, "Do you know who my dad is?" And
did I say that?
Yes, you did.
I would never pull that card now on like any instance.
But you did.
Wow, what a brat I was.
We were brats. And they were like, "Oh, God, I'm sorry, I'll let you go." And they let us go. And it was really funny.
That is
because her dad was like very, very high up.
Wow, it was funny.
That is insane. I don't remember doing that, but how shameful of me.
Whatever. Yeah, right? Because I didn't think shit.
I know.
But then I'm laughing because she has a horse. I forgot his name.
Which one?
The magic.
So he's no longer. But he lived a very long life. He died at 32. So,
wow.
Yeah.
He was an asshole?
Yeah, he bit the... did he bite you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just explain.
Well, his barn manners. But he was good under saddle.
So there's... here's two different stories that I'm going to say. So one time I go there and I've never ridden a horse. And Allie's like, "We're going to ride. Not only are we going to ride, we're going to ride bareback. There's no saddle." So we get on this horse.
I made all my friends try.
I wanted to kill you. And I get on this horse and I'm like, okay. And we start going faster and faster. She's like, it's easier when we're going faster. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's easier when you're cantering because it's
funky. How about this? I'm sliding off the horse. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I literally was falling off.
Because we were together. We were double.
Yeah.
Right?
At a high speed, one way. She's trying to hold on. And I'm like, I'm going to die. My head's going to, like, you know, literally explode on the ground. She's like, it's fine. And then you're like, oh, shit.
Just stay balanced.
You're like, hold on with your legs. I'm like, I can't. I'm literally sideways on the horse. Falling off. I'm like,
You didn't fall, did you?
No.
We brought it back down.
Brought it back down. And then she's like, oh, we're just going to get a little bit wet. Maybe our feet. God damn it. That horse was fully in the water. I was soaked up to like...
He was splashing.
Whoa. No, we were in a lake. And the horse was like...
Oh, yeah.
Don't you remember what you
did? Yeah.
She put me in this pond, this lake. And I'm on a horse, and I'm like, well, I might as well just get off the horse and swim myself because I'm just as wet.
So fun. I loved going in that pond.
It was really fun, but that was my first experience, and I'm like, oh, my God. This is the things that we would do. This is just a small sample.
Yeah. A total snippet.
And then she went away somewhere, and she asked me to come take care of her horse. Ooh. So I'm going in to take care of the horse. She gives me directions. I'm like, okay. I don't know anything about a horse. So I go in there and I'm trying to, like, you know, change the feed and water and whatever and clean up poop.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could stand behind the horse and he gets me.
Did he do it on purpose or did he accidentally?
No, I went
flying.
He was
a biter, but he didn't usually.
I went flying up in the air, knocked the wind out of me, couldn't breathe for a minute, landed somewhere else. Like, wow. People were coming up like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know what just happened.
I don't remember that.
Kicked me in my stomach. It was so...
This was magic?
Yes.
What a shithead. Wow. I don't remember this story.
Yeah, you weren't here. I was watching him. Yeah. And I told you what happened. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. And I think I made, like, one of our other friends come with us.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I know.
This is vaguely ringing a bell.
And I was terrified of the horse for the longest time. I'm like, I'm not getting near that thing. Nope, I'm not doing it.
I can't believe he kicked you like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Fucker.
First experience.
I had had him since I was 11, by the way. Yeah. So, but, like, crazy. Yeah. I mean, I knew he had, like, a little anger management problem, but he must have been eating and just wanted to do the hell out of his stall.
So, oh, it's probably when we were, like, 16. So, he would have been, like, 5.
Mm-mm. Yeah. He was actually my age. Yeah. So, he was exactly my age. So, he would have been 16, too. But, yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway.
Yeah. So, well, sounds good. Yeah. Horse stories, you know. So do you still ride?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I train and teach. And so I ride competitively back home.
Really?
And teach riding.
So is that what you do as a career?
Actually, real estate. And so I sell, like, horse properties and large estates and stuff like that. And then I also train and teach riding lessons.
Oh, wow. So how did you get into the real estate part of it?
Well, I did that right after college, actually. I graduated with an economics degree from Radford University. And
party school.
Yeah, total party school. And, yeah, it's actually hard to stay into that school because everyone's dropping out from partying. But anyway, so, yeah, I didn't want a 9-to-5 job. I definitely didn't want to do anything in economics. I didn't feel like changing my major because then it would put me back and keep me in school longer.
Right.
So I've always been fascinated by historical estates and, you know, the area of Virginia I live in is amazing and rich in so much history. So,
right.
And then so I did that. And riding was always just my passion and my hobby. And I always did it competitively growing up. And so I just kind of tied the two together. And they're both flexible. And they're both kind of lend
each
other.
That's amazing. And so you get to do what you love to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Be around horses and stuff. Yeah. Do your kids like that too?
Yeah. They love it. So they basically grow up. They're growing up on a farm, which is totally different from us. You know, we grew up in suburbia and subdivision central. And on bases, you know.
I was saying, like, actually, the girl that was sitting here, she was like, yeah, if you didn't get a BMW on your birthday, people would be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, Centennial was pretty.
We were the same way. It was such a snooty school. It's like, you're born, everyone there is pretty much born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The way it was.
Right. Whoa. Yeah, so
we didn't know anything else.
Yeah.
Except for, like, that's why, God, we were so bad.
Yeah.
Back of all the stupid shit.
Yeah. So, well, this is cool. So, did you grow up on a base or?
No, well, we always had a house in Columbia, Maryland. It's a little suburb, I guess, outside of Baltimore, D.C. area. And so we would travel around, you know, for my dad's stations and we'd live there for a little bit and then come back to our place in Columbia.
Right.
And then once they got divorced, my dad stopped traveling as much, worked at the Pentagon, and then we just kind of hunkered down in that area. It wasn't until college that I moved to Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys are, like, pretty close to the politics and everything there. I mean, you're, like, right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. There's some political stuff in the neighborhood.
I don't know if you want to bring that up, but you can.
Oh, I have no problem. I mean, I am, yeah. It's, like, I think crazy memory.
You already prefaced it, like,
I
the
told,
other day.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Him. But yeah. I was like, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but...
I really, to be honest with you, I, like, it's a foggy memory because...
God, I remember it.
You were young.
I was young. We were, like, 17 to 19 when it was going on. And
okay, well, let's tell people
like, what's going
what
on.
What are we talking about?
If you want to. Okay, so Allie's mom is involved. Like, it's a long story, but the whole, like, Monica Lewinsky thing, crazy case. So her mom is was involved with all of that. Her mom's Linda Tripp. So she had to deal with a lot of craziness, like, during high school. And
It was right after high school. We had graduated. But it was going on during high school.
Yeah.
So it didn't hit until after high school. But the whole...
But the spotlight was in you guys for a long time, huh?
It was after high school when it, I guess, came out. And
It was a hard time for you guys. Like,
It
really
was hard. I mean, there were threats and just paparazzi.
Your mom was definitely not popular at the time.
Right. And she, you know what? There's a lot...
But people don't know.
And she's the only one that hasn't capitalized on the shit that went down. And so, you know, she's held her head high and got taken the high road. And you know what? She really should kind of tell her story. So much wrong and misconceptions. And it was just dirty, very dirty. And that... is really, you know, all I was so young, I can't really say a whole lot, but I do know that, remember, like, that was the time that caller ID was just, like, fresh and brand new, and not many people had it. Well, I do know that my mom, like, literally had to get that and super fast because, A, Monica was just, you know, she was very much so incessantly calling, and it interfered with our life. I mean, it just... It did, and then there were threats and everything else. So.
Right.
I mean, it was there were paparazzi and press literally sitting outside of her house. I'm not kidding. It was like a war zone. You couldn't get in and out of the house without, like...
months.
It was so scary, and it's like, wow, I can't even, like, go over to, like, go hang out. Like, without, you know, people outside, like... It was just... It was pretty bad. Imagine living like that, you know? Yeah. Like, having to walk out of the house to go to the grocery store, and you can't.
Oh, she wouldn't. She couldn't.
And I remember
literally, we had to bring her stuff.
My mom used to bring you stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Like a huge celebrity.
No, it was just... It wasn't something we welcomed or wanted.
No, I'm sure. So what exactly happened? I mean, Linda Tripp was working with Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, I don't know. Listen, I'm not the person to ask if anyone. It should. I don't know. Like, backlog it, Google it, and a lot of things is, you know, wrong that have been written up, and there's a lot of I mean, who the hell knows? Right. I don't know logistically. Much, and I think my mom should get out, and
she really needs to write
get out there and I do know the specifics, but I'm not really at liberty to say. But you know, and that's her place, and I'm not going to be that daughter to sell out my mom, so sorry. So you know, I think she should. That's my opinion, but that's up to her. It's been 15 years, actually. It'll be 15 years
this year.
Whatever month it was.
So it was like, what, 98?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so, about,
because it was like right after. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was like 90. That was like 97.
Yeah, it might have been 97 going into 98.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, 15 years ago, that was that. And
it was such a crazy, like...
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, it's like part of this, like, huge scandal, and somehow your mom got involved in this, and I can imagine it's like it gets you a lot of attention that you don't want, you know? And,
no, it wasn't but like she asked or wanted to do any of it. Yeah.
But
it
I felt she felt she had felt she was doing the right thing, you know? And I think she did, you know, because Monica Lewinsky was still young, and, I mean, she was not a minor or anything, but at the same time, you know, I think it was something that needed to come out, you know?
Well, it was far beyond just that. It was far beyond just an affair. And so that's, I mean, that's, it goes well way deeper. There's so much more to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's leave that alone because I see you a little uncomfortable talking about
Well,
it
I just, yeah, I'm not at
But
liberty.
That's okay. Yeah, because
you know, I don't mind bringing it up, no doubt. Yeah. And I'm not, I'm not going to shy away. But the details of it, you know, and really, I was so young that I really feel like I can't, you know.
Yeah. Right. Now, do you, I mean, do you ever wonder about it? Do you research it
and stuff? It's so funny. Not at all. We don't... Wow. We
it's
just...
Past. Like, you don't really...
Not something at all. Like, every once in a while, you know, it'll come up in someone's conversation. And, you know, that's why my mom moved... to Virginia as well, and the area of Virginia is Middleburg, Virginia, gorgeous, gorgeous, old, ancient area in Virginia, just between D.C. and Winchester. It's where George Washington used to come through, and that's why it got its name Middleburg, because it was from, you know, they were headed to D.C., and it's the middle spot. And it's just a nice, private, quaint town where everyone minds their own business. I mean, Robert Duvall is my mom's neighbor, but you wouldn't know. I mean, like, you see him walking down the street, and it's just... It's awesome. And you don't go to a bar on the phone and you're not picked up by 8 guys while you're talking on the phone. It's very like, okay, I see you over there and I will leave you alone. Maybe I'll talk to you another day. It's so different here.
It's totally
such
different.
A world away. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. But
That's what it's like beyond me. I think that's what really just freaks. I mean, all the time, something. It's always something, I feel like. But I'm just having a lot of realizations recently because we were grown and brought up different.
Right.
And you wouldn't do this on the East
Are
Coast.
You kidding?
And you're doing it here. It's like, where the hell did you grow up? Like, where do you think that's okay?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, I don't know.
It's people, I think, maybe here are a little freer with their liberties. I'm not sure. But, that's...
And that's just a small example. I mean, I could go on and on about
I'm sure. But yeah, so the area of Virginia is very private, and she has an awesome store called the Christmas Sleigh, where they import all kinds of amazing German and all European fine china and clothing, and they specialize in Christmas merchandise, but they don't
I didn't know that.
That's cool.
Yeah, they have awesome stuff.
So
they're going on a buying trip
out.
Literally today in Germany. So.
Yeah, so she decided to leave the government. It was not for her anymore.
Yeah, she retired.
What was she doing at the time? What was her title?
She was the executive assistant to the council to the president.
Oh, okay.
So basically, like, helping with speeches and all that kind of stuff, I think.
Right, so she knew what was going on. I mean.
Oh, she was right there.
Yeah, she was like a fly on the wall, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, she was very involved with a lot of everything. I mean, the editing and everything.
How's your relationship with your mom? Do you guys get along?
Yeah.
Are you friends?
Yeah, oh, it's excellent. Like, I could not work or live my life without her. She's amazing. And she, like I said, I have 3 children that are young, and I work. So she helps me out big time. She's an amazing grandma. And my stepdad is an amazing grandpa, and if my dad were in town, he'd be just as amazing. I'm really lucky, very blessed to have them still and so helpful.
Good. It's nice to hear that people love their family. You know, some people don't. You know?
Oh, don't get me wrong. No, we had our battles, you know, like every mother-daughter, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not going to paint a fairy tale. No way, we did. But like, as I've hit, I think it was 30 was my mark, maybe late 20s. You just realize that you just take people for who they are, the good and the bad, and your mom is your mom, and she's not going to be here forever. So, you know, you just don't, you don't sweat the little things. And I think that's like just part of growing up. And
it's funny too, because it's like anytime I would have, and my parents were crazy, anytime I had some crazy shit at my house, I'd run to her house and cry to her mom or her. And be like, help me, my mom's crazy.
Oh, and I did the same thing.
And she did the same thing. It was vice versa. Like,
it is what it is. And there, our moms are like, you know, because we're like clones, pretty much, Bridget and I. So our moms could relate and do the same thing to each other. So it was.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was funny. And like, your mom would be like, okay, I'm calling your mom. Like, she would call my mom and like try and calm her the hell down and like talk her out of whatever she was. And vice versa. It was very funny. It was like I was their extra daughter, and she was
exactly
extra daughter.
It was good times. Like, I loved our childhood. I did.
Yeah.
I really did.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So and then you grew up. You went to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when did you meet your husband to be?
After college. Where was I? In Middleburg. Yeah, we were in Middleburg at a bar, actually. and a husband not to be. Did you say husband to be?
Yeah. At the time,
husband
he
not
was.
Husband not to be anymore, but the one she was with.
Your future husband or then future husband.
Yeah, gotcha. So, and he's wonderful. Actually, he's a good guy, really good guy. We just didn't connect, you know, and that happened.
How did you guys meet?
At a bar in Middleburg.
Through
a mutual friend, yeah.
Oh.
It was...
Wow, so it works to pick up women at a bar sometimes.
Well, like I said, it's a different scene there, you know? It was like a cozy, quaint little bar, a different scene,
It's so. Not like completely here. My parents met in the bar.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. I think a lot of people do in the right setting. I remember that night very, very like it was yesterday because I was nursing a baby foal back to health. I was so exhausted. I was doing it around the clock. And I said, I got to get out for a little bit. So I went to the local bar, met up with a girlfriend, and she knew, you know, she was friends with Derek. And so that's how I met him. And
oh, wow. So was it like...
And we went to the same college, but at different times. So that's how we kind of got talking.
Yeah. Was it like attraction at first sight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. He's a hottie. I will still say that. He's definitely still a hottie.
Yeah. Well, Brigetta claims that looks have nothing to do with it until she sees a hot guy.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, you caught that was funny. That was like months and months ago.
No, but I still
no,
think.
No, but I'm saying it's more to it than that. It's not just a surface thing. Like, it's not.
Right.
You know.
But it helps in the beginning.
You definitely have to have the attraction, but I'm saying, like, you know, and I've dated people in the past that typically I wouldn't say were, like, hot to, like, the public, you know?
Right.
And it wasn't about that. It was about
personality.
Like, right. It was deeper than that. You know?
Right.
Otherwise, it's just surface.
Right.
That's true, yeah. Once you get to seeing someone, you get used to seeing them, then it's not like a big deal anymore.
Right.
You know?
There's so much more to it. And marriage, God, it is work. I mean, it really is. And you have to devote so much time to giving and nurturing and being there for one another. And, you know, if you kind of lack it and start failing at that, then it's just going to go downhill. The communication stops. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just too depressing. Let's change the subject.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you down about it or are you looking forward
to... No, I'm actually, I've been really great about it. We both. It's very mutual.
Right.
It's been very mutual. I think he was a little bit more in denial about it and maybe wanted to work it out a little bit more than I did, I think just because of the kids, but that's not a reason to.
Right.
You're not happy, and he wasn't truly happy either. He came to that realization. So it's all good, and we're happy. We're still good friends, and it
good,
works.
Good,
and he's very involved with the kids, so.
Yeah, that's important. It's just that, I mean, you don't have to break up the family. It's just that you don't have to live together.
Our kids are our priority, and so we still do everything together. We did Christmas morning together. I mean, that's going to be, stay the night. But he woke up early and met us there. And so that's always going to be our number one, doing for the kids and, you know, being best friends, basically, for the kids. And so that's my major goal. My parents, they didn't have a good relationship after the split, and so I want to do the exact opposite.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. No, it's important for the kids and stuff. And so when did you guys split? Like, recently?
Yeah, well, no, we've been legally separated for 2 years now, and so our divorce is pretty much final. We just have to review a couple of things, but it's, just essentially a signature now.
Wow. So why does it take so long? I mean,
well, in Virginia, with children, you have to be legally separated for a year.
Oh.
And then this last year, it's just been more so coming to a meeting of the minds with certain things, and my procrastination, his procrastination, work. It's just life gets in the way.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like.
But I think you just want to cut
paper.
It off. Though.
We all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it hasn't been. I mean, it's literally almost signed. But
right. Has it interfered with your dating and stuff? I mean, do the guys say, well, you're not divorced yet?
Well, it's not been a huge yeah and no. I mean, it's not. I don't know.
Not a
I
big
guess,
deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. I can see how that can be a big deal for sure. Not not gonna scoot around that. But I don't know. Yeah.
It hasn't affected her.
It's almost, I mean,
it hasn't really been.
It's not like I'm clinging and holding on for it to, you know, eventually work. No, it's not that. We're just, I'm a busy girl, like 3 kids, working a lot. So paperwork like that and meeting and mediation and lawyers, it's just, it's very time consuming.
That's true. Yeah.
So it gets put off.
Yeah, I know. Now, do you have any time to go out? I mean, do you date and stuff?
Literally, like, no time to go out. Like, this is huge for me coming here. I guess it might have been 2 years ago since I was trying to think if it was under 2 years, but it was 2 years since I took like a real vacation and came, you know, to Arizona. Because I work all the time. And, like, again, the kids are only going to be little once. So kind of nice. Just trying to hone in on that time frame mm-hmm. because they're just going to grow up so fast and then I'll regret not making
that's true.
My world.
Yeah.
So
I miss them being young, you know.
How many do you have?
I have two, you know, but they're grown already. So.
Yeah.
But I miss them being little kids, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go through the pictures and stuff.
Uh-huh. It is. It's such a little blink. Like, I can't believe Peyton's already almost eight. It's crazy. So, I know, I keep saying, Bridget, it's almost your turn.
Yeah.
One of these years.
Yeah.
She will.
Years.
She will be an excellent
mommy.
Yeah,
there's no hurry. No hurry. You're still young. Mm-hmm. Wow. So I mean, but do you date at all? Do you have anybody? Okay, I guess you don't.
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, I do. And I've been...
You just go out and you meet people and
right,
stuff like that.
Right, yeah. It's been... I've met a really good guy. It's and I connected with him so well, and he's an awesome individual. It's an age difference that is kind of, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is he much older? Okay.
No, he's younger.
All right. Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that's okay. So you enjoying your trip here?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I wish I had longer.
Yeah, so you went out last night.
Yeah, I went to the premiere.
To the premiere and everything.
You got to experience a real Hollywood premiere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think of L.A.?
Unbelievable.
Do you like it?
Love it. I want to visit. I mean, I love it. I had no idea it had... I mean, this is my first time in L.A.
Oh, so, it is?
Yeah, total. So
wow.
I can't, you know, I've done not a whole lot, but from what I've seen, it's just been amazing.
Yeah, I wish you'd stay longer because there's so much to see here. Yeah.
Well, next time I come, I definitely absolutely
bring
will.
Bring your kids with you.
Oh, no. That's what Bridget said. And I said, no. Mommy's going to take like a four-day weekend and come visit, and Daddy will have the kids.
That's true. That's the way to do it.
I was like, no, let's go to Disneyland.
Yeah,
it'd be
Disneyland
cute.
Would be
we'll
nice
take
for
that way. But then after Disneyland,
then
I'm
what?
Still,
right.
Mommy's not able to go.
So then you bring your mom and then be like, Mom, you're going to watch them at night. We're going out.
Good call.
She would like it. She would. She would love coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your dad is in Arizona. Is he retired now?
Yeah, he's retired Army. And then after Army, he did, you know, government contracting and all that. And so now he's just golfing all the time.
Now, you guys didn't have to move around a lot, right? Like some Army brats and stuff.
We moved around quite a bit. I was a lot younger, you know. The moving around kind of stopped when I was 12, when they split. And that's when we kind of hunkered down in Maryland. We moved around, you know, Germany, Holland, North Carolina, excuse me. My brother went to, you know, Georgia. So it was bouncing around a lot, but it was a good experience.
Yeah. Did you learn some languages while you were there?
No. I mean, I can understand a little bit of German, and I can speak a teeny little bit of it because my family's half German.
Half German, half Italian.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm actually a mutt. I have my whole mom's side. Well, so they're half German, half Italian, and then my dad's side is English and Russian or whatever. So I'm a big mutt. Although I look more Italian than anything.
Yeah,
I definitely
does.
Do. So, but anyway, it was a good experience. Not fluent in anything, sadly.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we stayed at the Chateau Marmont.
Yeah.
And because I wanted her to, I was like, if you want to stay at a cool place, a very, like, you know, it's where all the celebrities live pretty much. Mm. And I was like, stay there. So it was an interesting experience because, you know, it's very pricey. You know, the Chateau Marmont is like very posh. And
last night, are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I used to, it's one of the oldest hotels in Hollywood, and Val used to live there, and you name the bands that do live there still, and it's just, you know, on and on. We saw some people this morning, but, and she's like, it's funny, she's like, this is not what I would expect from
Well,
this kind of hotel.
Because it was very, you know, I mean, it's awesome, it's all original, but it was very dated, and like the iron didn't work, the iPod dock didn't work. Next time I will be staying at the Roosevelt because we ended up going there, and that was definitely more my scene. However, I did enjoy the charm and history of it for sure. So,
So you stayed at the hotel last night?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How come? What for?
Well, we wanted to. I booked it as like a treat and a thank you, and so we'd be really close to the everything. Like we were just a spit away, and then we could get ready there and
it was fun.
Crash.
That's true. You didn't have to drive drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was fun.
It was a good experience.
But it was like an older place, right? That's
yeah,
what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the oldest hotels in Hollywood.
It's probably
like
the.
I think it is
the best oldest, yeah.
And it's a boutique hotel, but I'm talking like the rooms there are ridiculously expensive.
It's
but it's
5-star, yeah.
But it's catered to celebrities. Like right. I said, Val lived there for like 6 months.
Like you cannot take pictures inside or anything.
Really? No cameras inside
No
at
personal
all.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Really, because of the celebrities, mm-hmm. they
it's
want
awesome.
Their privacy?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where they live.
Yeah.
Most people live. There's bungalows. They live there. They actually live
I
there.
I see.
I know Puddle of Mud used to live there. That's a big band. There's a couple different people that I know. That Chris Farley died there. He lived there. He died there. There's some other stories of... I mean, it's very haunted, too.
Really?
Yeah. It's a beautiful hotel. It really is. Yeah. And it's very posh and very private. And you absolutely cannot get in unless you are staying there. Or you're, you know, a celebrity.
Invited or something, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to go there a lot back in the day. It was the place to hang out. You know?
Where is it? In Beverly Hills? Downtown?
No, it's in West Hollywood
West
on Sunset Boulevard. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll find out some... I'm actually going to look up who died there.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I was hearing some spooky shit, too.
very haunted.
I didn't sleep well at all. Like,
really?
We finally got to bed at, 3 o'clock? And my eyes popped open at 6-something. Like,
wow.
And I had been hearing stuff all night, so...
Yeah.
Or all of 3 hours,
that's
rather.
That's jet lag, yeah, so... Yeah,
well, I need to start getting back on East Coast time, though, because now I'm all messed up.
1926.
Yeah, okay.
That's when it was. Yeah, I mean, it's a Hollywood landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Sofia Coppola shot her film there somewhere. James Franco. I mean, it's a you know,
yeah.
Rebel Without a Cause. I mean, it's a huge...
It's a landmark, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Hotel. Tim Burton stayed there. He, like, lived there for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a very, very posh, you know, hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to give you like...
Nice. Well, that was a great idea to do.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So you're flying out already this morning, right?
Yeah. Like, literally, what's the time? We're good, right?
We're good.
Okay.
We only have a few minutes.
John Belushi.
Left.
He died there. At
Joe Roberto's, that's right.
While staying in one of the bungalows.
That's right. So it was there.
Elizabeth Taylor brought Montgomery Clift, who was almost killed in a car accident outside the home. So she brought him to the Chateau Marmont. I mean, this is like... Yeah, John Belushi's death site. Like, that was, like, a big thing.
Yeah,
you walk in and you do feel like you're stepping back in time, too. They've done a really good job preserving
nice.
The original features.
So there's actually a page who has died at the Chateau Marmont.
Well, there's that many. Yeah, it explains
people
it.
And how long are you going to stay in Arizona?
I leave back to Virginia Saturday. So it's been Saturday to Saturday, 1 week.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a nice brief trip.
Yeah, that's all I can do with the kids. Because I did take Peyton, my oldest, with me to Arizona. So my dad watched her while I'm here, and Derek has the other two, so that's all I can do.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well,
so I'm sorry, I just found the page. So Mick Jagger has lived there, Greta Garbo, Spike Lee, Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart, Jean Harlow, Scott Fitzgerald, Clark Gable, Lindsay Lohan. I remember she actually just lived there for like a year.
Really?
Sofia Coppola, Robert De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jim Morrison, Elizabeth Taylor, Natalie Wood, James Dean, Yoko Ono, John Lennon. I forgot he did live there because I know Sean Lennon used to live
so
there.
So they get to be with their
Bob
friends.
Bob Dylan, and, John Belushi, Errol Flynn, Heath Ledger. I forgot he did too.
I think it's more Howard so, Hughes. Yeah, to maintain the privacy because it's just so private there.
And Val lived there. He's on this list, but he did live there for a while. So, I mean, yeah, it's a piece of history, and it's beautiful, but it was funny because everything we touched fell apart.
Yeah, everything.
Even the refrigerator, bro.
And then I fell down the stairs leaving.
Oh, my God, she fell on the stairs.
Like, the hotel didn't like me at all. I was in my flip-flops, and the stairs are freaking slippery, and I had my big luggage, and it's like, bloop, on my butt.
She slid on her butt, down the stairs.
No one was watching, thankfully.
Well, there was a full living room
for
but they breakfast.
Were far away.
She turned around.
They heard the noise. I don't think they saw it.
They saw you getting up, luggage everywhere.
Oh, well, fuck.
Oh, well.
It's okay.
All right. Well, Brigetta's friend, Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you sound like a lot of fun, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
All right.
And
Brigetta,
then, well, tomorrow, just so you guys know, we're having very famous medium, Suzanne Northrop, who will be here in studio tomorrow. We're going to take callers. She can do live readings on those for you who loved ones who have passed. So I will announce that again tomorrow. But she is was up for her show was up for an Emmy. So
really?
Yeah, she's very well known.
That'll be fun.
She'll
to
be
have.
In studio tomorrow. So for those of you who want, you know, readings,
yeah,
please call in the show tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you're a skeptic like me, you probably want to tune in.
All wait right. till she reads your ass.
Yeah, there you go. Then I'll be like, wow. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.